cheap prices.
Keith Murphy.
This is a big, hairy American winning machine.
And he fails.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
It's the Murph and Andy Show.
It's a three and got it.
Powered by AD.
British young Cinderella.
On 1460.
KXNO.
And now 106.3 FM.
Welcome to the Murph and Andy Show. Alongside Andy Fales, I'm Keith Murphy. We're being powered up here by AD, and we have sports and more. And I just stopped at Ace Hardware because I needed one of those filters because, you know, right now, as usual, Jenny thinks a filter might be the answer to the fact that upstairs is 150 degrees. It's not the filter, but I'll go get the filter. But
the air filter, the furnace filter.
Furnace filter. Yeah, so I'll go grab a handful of filters. Sure, maybe that'll help our problem. But while checking out, here's the reason for the power of some. I mean, I didn't go in there thinking. In fact, I just got back from a few days of eating too much and drinking too much and sunning too much. Last thing I wanted was a big box of dots, which are basically just drops of sugar.
It just permanently stick to your teeth.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But there they were, right there next to the beef jerky and the almonds and the 5-hour energy shots. So I got a big old box of dots, and then I thought, I'll eat a few of these and then just put them aside, maybe have a couple each day. By the time I got to the station, the box of dots was gone.
One more of these green ones wouldn't kill anybody. I'll take one of those. Yeah, dots. I can barely
open my mouth right now.
those like 10 for $10 Willy Wonka candy deals they have at Walgreens or CVS or
yeah,
Mills Fleet Farm or just about anywhere else.
It's too good a deal to pass up. I mean, you know, it's four boxes for $4.
You'll eat them eventually. They're a good sized box too.
But don't leave it in the car right now.
No, it'll become one solid mess.
It'll just
one
be
giant dot.
One dot. One dot. That's it. No, I feel like I ate less because I only had one dot. Let's get to the one at one.
The one at one.
One.
One. One.
With Murph and Andy, powered by Kaburski Brothers Lawn Care.
Boy, there's a lot to pick from today, and there's things popping as we speak here, but let's go with the inevitable, which has happened. The University of Iowa announces expanded beer and wine sales at football, basketball, baseball, softball, wrestling, volleyball, basically any event that's going on in one of the athletics facilities.
Yeah, just everywhere. Yeah. Right, not going to be called out for not being fair to everybody, and not going to get called out for not just making the most of the opportunity. I don't know about people buying beers at volleyball games.
I think it happens. Yeah, beach volleyball for sure.
yeah, right.
This isn't that.
I think anywhere there's beer for sale, people will buy beer.
Yeah, how much? If you're not in a luxury box, how much wine are you buying at a football game?
I wondered that myself. I was like,
Wine sales?
Wine is the option. That's got to be there. I mean, people do that. I mean, they want some alternative. I would think that the people who care enough about wine would not want wine at a football game. And then everybody else could probably just be good with beer, but they wouldn't offer it if they didn't think they could sell it.
Gary Barta, the athletics director at Iowa, says that this decision was based on enhancing the fan experience and providing an additional amenity to our fans. I think it's easy to mock that, but I think that's true.
I believe that.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
He has
a job to do, and that is make his product more appealing each year.
And this is something that not all, as we know from our surveys over the years, not all fans want this, but the majority do. And it's been that way for a long time. There'll
be some complications that come with it.
There will be. But Barta has said Iowa wouldn't be first, which Iowa wasn't. Said Iowa wouldn't be last, which Iowa isn't. I think Iowa's middle of the road, AD?
Yeah,
somewhere like
eighth in the Big Ten.
Okay, so 8 of 14,
yeah,
right in the middle. It is a revenue stream. It's not a. It might not be the revenue stream that people think it is. Like Ohio State, other schools, they're making about $1 million, which is, in this day and age, that's nothing to turn your nose up at. But it's not $10 million. It's not $20 million. It's $1 million. Now, this is more than just football, but that's going to be your big money maker. Men's basketball at Iowa.
And keep in mind that you've been able to get this stuff wrestling in parts of the stadium and the arena already.
That has always been my one. I don't know if it's my strongest endorsement for doing this, but I just have always disliked the way. It's not that these universities are on some high road of morals. Mm-hmm. It's that you have to have enough money to donate to have access to the places where they are selling booze. I mean, they're selling beer, wine, mixed drinks, everything. If you're in a suite, if you donate enough money, if you have enough discretionary income. Now, I suppose they can push back on that a little bit and say, yeah, but those tend to be your more responsible drinkers than stadium wide. And there's some truth to that.
Yeah. But really, the problem,
it's a class system. It has been.
Yeah. I mean, and the problem is this, they make this kind of strong stance against the problems that binge drinking brings along, and, you know, offering this to this crowd that's already all liquored up from the pregame, and, you know, the inevitable problems that come along with. Iowa's not going to have any part of that. We don't need it. We already have enough of a problem with alcohol on this campus. Now, if you want to pay for a luxury box, then then maybe we can make an exception. But yeah, I mean that's there's some hypocrisy there.
For sure,
there was, you know, your moral standards are able to be bent by a heavy enough pile of money, but, you know, really, it is an added incentive, and really always has been. I mean, that's an added incentive to pay those ridiculous prices for those club seats. The North End Zone has been serving alcohol the whole time it's been in existence. Those are more expensive seats.
Yep. And it's an exclusive club section.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, if they sell it all over the stadium, then those seats are a little less appealing. So you can understand it from a business standpoint, too.
One of the fascinating things about this release, and has good intentions behind it, but it is something that catches your eye. The 30% of the profits of selling the alcoholic beverages will support a program that tries to curb high-risk drinking.
Yeah, right. Well, and they do that with gambling, too.
Yeah, you know,
Part of the portion goes to treat the people who will not participate in this in moderation.
Right. So they're kind of buying their own help.
More hypocrisy there. Yeah, exactly. But yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess you just kind of recognize
it makes it
the vice that it is. Yeah, for the right people, it's for, you know, 90-something% of the people, it's fine. But there are a few percent of the people it's going to be a problem, and you got to take those people seriously.
Another thing that how many times in the 13-plus years we've done this show and the 25 years of Sound Off, how many discussions and commentaries have we had on that this will come to Iowa eventually? They need to do it soon. This has been at least a dozen. I mean, just the what's bugging Andy's and Murphy's laws over the years. Just it actually has taken longer than I thought it would. It's taken a while.
Yeah, because who went first? Texas? It was Texas, I think, that went first.
Minnesota in the Big Ten, Texas in the Big 12, I think.
I feel like just Texas nationwide was like the first. The first one.
Well, that's on brand.
Yeah, right. The ones that just are going to go ahead and do away with the rule. We thought the levy would break and everybody would become, you know, drinking stadiums right after that. And it's taken longer than we thought. But it has been used by athletic directors as a way to add value.
Yeah, you're right. You know, yeah. Iowa State is a great example.
Yeah,
of that.
And they like to break it out kind of incrementally, so that when they open up a new club section that's been renovated and they're going to charge these crazy prices, they can throw the alcohol in there, and then more people will buy that kind of stuff. They can, you know, they can basically add appeal to any section of seating in an old stadium without doing anything else, really. And it's kind of crazy because all these people are already drunk. They've already spent the whole pregame in the parking lot. You know, I mean, you're offering them something they just had and will have as soon as they leave the game. So you're really not doing anything. You're not offering them a flying car.
This, and this comes to another reason that I have thought that this is something that should be done, is most of the universities, I remember years ago sitting down with Vanderbilt's athletics director at a function, and they had introduced alcohol sales there stadium-wide, mm-hmm. and he said to me, far less arrests, far less incidents, because yep. we did away with the guys pilot trying to pound three beers at the garbage can before they walk in, you know, just binge drink. And most of us have done that. Yep. Like, hey, I'm about to go in for 3.5 hours, or in Iowa State's case, I'm going in for 2 hours, man. So
you'd be walking in,
you have one on reserve.
Yeah, you got like half a beer left. You'd be like, you better drink that right now. It'll cost you $5 inside. I'm like, okay, you pound the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So he told me that, and that opened my eyes a little bit, and then. Research, I'm sure there's an exception, but research at these universities bears that out. They have fewer arrests, they have fewer alcohol-related interests, and they have less general binge drinking right before the game starts, because people, if you're even, what's a beer going to be at Kinnick Stadium? $6, $7, something like that, $7, $8, whatever it is, you're willing to pay that on your Saturday, the 6 Saturdays you get at home. You're going to go in. Most people are going to pay that rather than sit there and just try to knock down 2 or 3 warm Busch Light cans at the garbage can.
No, but I mean, you're going to have, what, 2 beers, maybe? 2 expensive beer, what, 1 per half or 2 in the first half, and by the second half, you're done.
Like an IV drip? Just
yeah, you just kind of nurse it the whole way. And yeah, but I think that, first of all, the main appeal is that you have not been able to have it before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that thing like when you're 20 or you're 18, you think to yourself, man, when I'm 21, I'm drinking every night. And then you turn 21 and you're just like, oh,
yeah,
it's not that big a deal. When you're 15, you're like, oh, man, when I get my driver's license, I'm driving all over the earth. And then it's your, oh, okay, it's nice. Yeah, I can drive. But then it just kind of becomes commonplace.
Yeah. Would you mind going up to the grocery store? Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah. God, yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. When you're really? 15, you're like, man, if I can drive the car,
yeah, I'll
go to any grocery. I'll go to a grocery store in Nebraska if you want.
Pick up whatever you want.
Yeah. You feel that way because it's held out of your reach. You know, it's something you can't get to. It's something that's running from you. So of course you want to chase it. But then, you know, you take that away and it's available all the time, then some of the appeal goes away. And that's even to something as commonplace as beer to somebody in their 50s. You know, they've been drinking for forever. So there's still that part of the appeal to it, and that will go away quickly. But there will be just this kind of nice convenience factor that makes you think, yeah, I'm a little happier to be at this football game rather than at home, my comfortable couch, when I can have a beer.
Quickie poll from WCI Pools and Spas.
Which more closely reflects your reaction to beer and wine sales throughout Kinnick Stadium and Carver Hawkeye Arena? Yes, it's about time. Or, uh-oh.
Yes.
Can uh-oh be a good thing?
Probably can, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Those games are getting really beers are in trouble now. Those beers are in
bad
trouble.
Bad day to be a Busch Light.
I feel for them beers. I think it's about time. I don't think this is going to lead to more problems, more arrests. No. I think it's good. I think it's good to have choice. I think it's good to have everybody have access to the same thing, regardless of which socioeconomic class you're in. You're a fan. You cared enough to go in and buy a ticket. I think they're going to learn some lessons. They've said that this is a pilot program. It's not going to be taken away. It's going to stay. But they'll figure some things out this year. I think the main thing you worry about Kinnick, is it's just so narrow, and even with the renovations, there aren't as many bathrooms as you need and as you'd like. So they're going to have to really think out where they put those point of sales.
Points of sale. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because that stadium is old and the infrastructure is old.
It wasn't designed for this many people.
No. Yeah, they're going to have to spread that stuff all over the place.
And probably cans rather than draft in most places.
That is what they said. Yeah, cans and like faster service.
Big cans.
Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Glad to have you here with us on a Thursday. The other big happening story now is A proposal under consideration would expand the college football playoff from 4 to 12 teams with 6 spots reserved for the highest ranked conference champions. So this puts the group of, this puts a group of 5 team in, because you got the Power 5 conference champions, and with the 6 highest ranked, potentially you could even have more than one group of 5.
Yeah, this past season I've seen a lot of people kind of putting this together. What would have happened a year ago if this was in place? And Oregon, who won the Pac-12, would not have gotten in. It would have been Coastal Carolina, and there were a couple other group of 5 conference champions that were ranked higher than Oregon, the Pac-12 champions. So it's not an automatic bid for the Power 5, although you would assume most years it will be.
Some kind of backdoor shot at Iowa State's greatest bowl win of all time against the Pac-12 champion Oregon Ducks?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Because Iowa State would have been in a year ago.
They yeah, Iowa like State 11th. Would be... That's why the expansion to 12 seems good. For 71%, since they started the college football playoff, Andy, 71% of the teams were the same 4 teams. Which is just, I mean, that doesn't feel inclusive at all. Only 4% of the teams playing football are eligible for the college football playoff. It's much higher in other sports. So do I think there are 12 contenders for the national championship? No, I think this is going to end with probably the same team winning the champion. I don't think that changes a great
deal.
Is
that anybody's main concern, though?
Just it'd be fun to be invited to the party, yeah, and the bowls yeah. are getting meaningless.
It's more games. So it's more playoff games, more chances, technically chances, yeah. to go somewhere other than just a bowl game.
And this, Iowa State would have been in this. Last year, Iowa State would have been in this 12-team playoff, I think. They'd be one of the at-larges, right? Yeah, they would have been in an at-large.
Yes.
And then 2015, that Iowa team would be in. Mm-hmm. That team was very close to being in the 4-team yeah. playoff, but they even after that loss, they would get in there. After that close loss to Michigan State, they would have gotten in there, and then you just hope they don't see Stanford. But so occasionally get an Iowa or Iowa State,
yeah.
and we never thought we'd say that about Iowa State, but Iowa State's in that conversation now. That's what most teams, fans of most teams not named Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Oklahoma, this is what you want.
Yeah, and just, I mean, think of all the different teams out there like Iowa and Iowa State that feel exactly this way about this move. Look, we don't think that we are a real contender for the national title, but we are a contender for this, which puts you in the running for all that. At the very least, it gives you a chance to keep playing. Jeez, that's yeah. what a novel idea for college football. You don't just go to this dead-end bowl game that doesn't mean anything.
AD, this is happening as we speak. It's been leaked. It's been a drip out today. This is not official, but it sounds like it's going to be voted in. And then we're not talking about this coming season. Are we talking about the following one or the one after that?
So I haven't seen anything today on this, but what we saw from Pete Thamel from Yahoo earlier this week, which kind of laid this out before anybody else had it, he said he couldn't see it happening before the 2023 season. So not this fall, not next fall, the year after.
Booked too far out with
I guess maybe with the bowl system.
Yeah,
you kind of have to, and you wonder
what does this do to that?
Yeah, and will conferences go back to an 8-game schedule? If I think this will change things for some people.
People
you need, I guess, time to get it ready.
A change is tough.
Yes,
and it's toughest of all for old white guys. And the guys,
no.
the guys who
they
run,
don't complain about change, do they?
The guys who run bowl games are largely old white mm-hmm. guys, and it has made no sense to.
Yeah, they've
anyone
had really
else.
Good worlds.
Yeah, but why? Why people couldn't see that? Yeah, it's okay. You can still have your Outback Bowl, but make it part of a playoff, and people will care a lot more. Oh no, we want to preserve the integrity of the bowls the way they're. Well, it's not working anymore. People are opting out of playing. The stands are empty. Some teams are even turning bowl
people
bids down.
People want to travel around Christmas.
Yeah, I mean,
that
yeah.
was a popular one there. Really? They travel everywhere else at that time. It's like the busiest travel time of the year.
Yeah, they've kind of kept the Rose Bowl name on some of these playoff games, and that you can still do that.
I think that's the plan. Essentially, the top 4 would get a buys. The first round games would be on sites on campuses.
Here's Pete Thamel, who you referenced, AD, here's what he said. The basic thought is automatic bids for the five major conferences, which also juices up their league title games as kind of play-in games.
Although, with 12, if both are ranked in the top,
right.
If it's Ohio State against a really good Iowa or Wisconsin team, you could see the loser getting in regardless.
Yes. One of the, you'd have more stress, but yes. And for the highest-ranked group of five champion. The other six spots would be at-large bids. That gives automatic bids to some of the have-nots and more potential spots for the more powerful leagues, and compromise is important to vote where consensus is needed. So that would still be worked out, how the 11 games would be played in a 12-team system. Jim at 284-5966, you like this plan, Jim, 12 teams?
Yeah, I'm giggling when you said integrity of the bowl games. That's kind of an oxymoronic statement, kind of like Army intelligence, but not a lot of integrity in the bowls. But I think it's a measuring stick, like Iowa basketball this year. They wanted to get to Sweet 16, came up short. You get in the top 12, there's your Sweet 16. You pull off an upset, now you're in the Elite Eight. We all know who's going to win in the end, but it's a nice thing. That's how I equate it, just like the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that's a good way to approach it. Yeah, thanks, Jim. I mean, it gives you this new group of elites that you can be a part of. Yeah, it's a universal ranking too, right? I mean, you made it in these games, and then you played in the games, and that's something that we can measure rather than just a pool of rankings all thrown together, and then somebody does a bunch of math, and then comes up with the numbers. And you know what? Playoff football works. We know that. It's been working for years. The NFL, we love the playoffs. Have more. Period.
And you will have an upset at some point. I mean, we still think about Boise State beating Oklahoma on the Statue of Liberty, one of the great plays in the history of football. I mean, upsets do happen. Is this going to end most of the time with Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson or Oklahoma? Yes, probably, but chance. You just want a chance. And for these group of five teams, they go undefeated. They don't get invited.
Right, yeah, and that just doesn't seem like it's part of the whole spirit of the deal. But, yeah, I mean, these second-place SEC teams that just sort of get priced out, how much do they love this idea? They're not dead. Maybe they had a rough start to the season, but they came on strong. They're able to get in this format, and then suddenly you got a whole new whole extra team that everybody's got to be worried about. I just think it's really smart, because you knew they were going to expand at some point, but I think a lot of us thought they were just going to go to 8, and then that would, first of all, not answer all the questions. There would still be those outlying teams that got shut out, the Coastal Carolinas. But ultimately, you were going to wish that they had added more teams. So just jump ahead to 12. We know we're going to get that there eventually. I can't see a world where we would expand to 8 and be like, perfect, 8. That's all we want. We would want more. So just do it now. Let that settle in, because mm-hmm. there's going to be some kinks to this whole thing. It's not going to feel right at first. There's going to be some things they have to change around a little bit. But let's work that out with a 12-team format. Not work it out with an 8-team format, only to realize that we still want four more teams. I don't see us. I think there's a much better chance that we will settle on 12 rather than immediately want to go to 16.
It doesn't feel to me like the regular season will get less important.
It's too short.
It does seem like these teams are probably going to avoid playing big non-conference opponents, right? Why would you risk a loss there?
Yeah, I mean, but that needs to take place, doesn't it? I mean, for the most part, I know we all worry about Iowa, Iowa State, but I mean, it's the other games that need to be thinned out.
Yeah, and if you're telling me you get this playoff, but you're coming down to 11 regular season games, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
one less what amounts to an exhibition game most years. That would be okay. That would be okay.
Your fan base with schools like Iowa might be a little less hungry for just any game that you could sell them you know, a Northern Illinois game may lose some appeal. If you keep Iowa State on there, that's still got the same meaning. Now, some of those games could be in jeopardy, but I think what we would like to see is some of the ones that are really just gratuitous money grabs. Those go away.
When we come back, another big story on a busy Thursday here at
Deep Experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add or coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
Let's play Guess Who's Birthday on the Murph and Andy Show, powered by Cellular Advantage.
Let's do it, Andy. You're up first. Guess Who's Birthday?
With the 73rd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select running back, Iowa State.
Oh, that is that's David Montgomery.
It is. Chuck Bruce, if you
Chuck
like.
Chuck Bruce, yeah. David Montgomery. Yeah, let's see. Let's say he's 23.
24, you get the point. Murph, guess whose birthday?
The Cardinal up 35-0 at the break. 18 carries, 172 yards in this game, breaking the Rose Bowl game record for all-purpose yards, 368.
It's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, it is. That hurts even.
Jeez.
Here.
Man, it somehow seemed like more than that in the first quarter. Christian McCaffrey is, he's 27.
He's only 25, so that's a miss. Dang.
Wow. Andy, guess who's... What was he, like 15 or something when he was playing?
He looked 15.
Yeah, I think it was a sophomore that year. So, anyway. Andy, guess whose birthday?
New details about the mystery at the heart of Tiger King in that Netflix series. Joe Exotic accuses big cat activist of murdering her former husband.
Remember when this was a thing?
That's Carol Baskin.
Yes, it is.
That seems 10 years ago.
It does.
What, was that this time last year?
Yeah, just a little longer. Yeah, just over a year. I think it was like right as quarantine hit, March, early April.
That was the one thing that could have made the pandemic feel weirder at the beginning. Because it was so weird. And then there was Tiger King.
And then it's like, wait, hang on. Somebody told me to watch this. What am I watching here?
Right.
And why can't I stop? And then you got to the end. You're like, I wish I had stopped.
Right. The way they sold it at the beginning, you're like, this is the most incredible, crazy story that you have ever heard in your life on any planet in any solar system. And they were right.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you sure you're not overselling this a little bit? Nope. They weren't. Carol Baskin is... Jeez. She was a real beauty there. Long ago.
Yeah.
67.
She's only 60, so
oh,
that is
sorry,
a
Carol.
Miss.
Whoops.
And the door is open here, Murph. Guess whose birthday?
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you.
That's Liam Neeson.
Yes, it is.
Thanks for playing the entire thing. They're doing some fancy editing. I just saw his most recent movie, and at this point, it's just like blurred images on the screen when he's in a fight. So he's got to be in his late 60s. He's 69.
He's 69. That's a win.
Oh.
Jeez, I'm on a
one in a
birthday
while.
Streak here. It's man, it feels good. All right, another thing we learned today is that the Iowa High School State Baseball Tournament, the Iowa High School Athletic Association presents the State Baseball Tournament. It will be held at Carroll's Merchants Park. That'll be Class 1A and 2A. And then Classes 3A and 4A will take place at the University of Iowa's Duane Banks Field. So two locations, like the old days, Carroll and Iowa City. The number one question when you mention this is, why isn't it at Principal Park? And I need to remember, not everybody's aware of that.
We talked a lot about it, but it's been a while.
Yeah, and it was at a time we're getting so much information. The
Iowa High School Athletic Association set their dates for the tournament, which on the one field, keep in mind, you have to, you can't play two games at once or anything. So it's actually, it wraps around a second weekend.
Yeah, it's like, I think it would start on Friday, right? It would start on Friday, and then the championships would be the following Saturday.
Because of the pandemic, the iCubs schedule was set late compared to where they usually get it. The Iowa High School Athletic Association went ahead and released when they planned to have the tournament. And then when Iowa found out about its schedule, which is unlike any other, we've talked to the Hof, Randy Wehofer, about this. You know, it's 6 days at a time against one team, and then Monday off, and then you go back and or you go somewhere else and play for 6 days.
Major scheduling conflicts this year.
Yes. They did have discussions, I'm told, by the Iowa High School Athletic Association and Randy with the iCubs. They did try to work this out, but just neither side ended up feeling like it was doable. Mm-hmm. Contract was up. So they had to find something else. They're going to Carroll and Iowa City, which those are two good locations. It's not, kids want to play at Principal Park. Mm-hmm. That's where they want to play. Marshalltown comes up with some people. You've worked here long enough to remember covering games, but that
field is not in the same shape that it was in. Apparently. Yeah, I think who did we ask? We asked that to Chris Cuellar.
He was on here one time saying, "Hey, if you know of a spot, let us know. We're looking because they had to solve this, and now they have."
Well, Carroll is a good choice. That'll be a lot of fun to bring it back there. That'll be a good story. The University of Iowa field is not a good choice, but for the kids, they'll like that. But you know, it's not, the Iowa City community doesn't care about this. I mean, it's at the University of Iowa. They've got big stuff all the time there. It's not really, mm-hmm. you know, it's a campus that's closed around it. You know, not a small town.
Hawkeye fans who go will think it's cool.
Yeah, that will be cool. It's a really nice facility. The kids will certainly like it, but it won't have that, you know, kind of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours quality that you had in Carroll and Marshalltown.
Right.
And even in Des Moines here too, because you bring all those people to Des Moines, it's all set up, it's downtown, it's, you know, there's all these businesses around there. I mean, this is in the middle of a dead campus in the middle of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's next month, so we're talking July.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's nice. I'm sure that the kids will get a kick out of that. But I'm especially happy for the community, Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
So when the tournaments left Marshalltown and Carroll, that was a big hit to those communities. I mean, there was a lot of money that was brought in. They had a lot of just pride in having those tournaments every year. It made them feel included, like they were important. And I think it'll be that'll be really cool for them to get that just this year.
We have a quickie poll presented by WCI Pools and Spas, and these places were all considered. We should note here as you go into the poll that Field of Dreams was, they did ask if that was a possibility. Not surprisingly, Major League Baseball said, and we don't want four
kids
classes
messing
of baseball
it up.
Tournaments for 10 days before we play a Major League Baseball game on here. So that was a no, but if all these were yeses.
Where would you like to play a Boys State baseball game? Where would you most like to play it? Merchants Park in Carroll, the University of Iowa's Duane Banks Field, Principal Park, or the Field of Dreams?
It'd still be Principal Park for me. I mean, that has the most big-time feel to it. I could see some people voting for Field of Dreams,
Honestly, until we've seen that stadium, like, completed.
The field where Shoeless Joe was.
Right.
Playing.
I can picture what it's going to look like, but until I actually see it, and I'm guessing it'll be amazing, and when we see it, we'll be like, oh, my God, that'd be great. But until you see it, it's hard to really, you know, put that into your mind. I'm with Principal Park because it is big time. You get the view. It's where everybody in Iowa has gone to watch professional baseball their whole lives.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen plenty of games at Principal Park, so that's not shiny and new. And you know, the 50-year-old man in me that loves Field of Dreams likes that idea, the romantics of that idea. But I can't imagine being a high school kid and really wanting, honestly wanting to pick that over the professional park in Des Moines. Right. So, I mean, realistically, it's still Principal Park.
Do you remember when we did a Field of Dreams movie pod and just spent more time on the things that made no sense?
Revealing all the... Yeah.
Andy really hates the seed store scene.
Where
he's gets buying, one bag of seed.
Yeah, he's got that huge farm.
Yeah, that's right. He just farm.
All the other farmers are just hanging out in the seed store. They don't have farms to tend to themselves.
Like he's planting a corn garden.
And the music on the background is crazy.
Oh, what is it? Like Patsy Cline in the back? Yeah. You're like, okay, yeah, can you make this a little bit more cliche country here?
I think Ray said he's seeing a ghost. Or something like that.
This is Northeast Iowa.
They just start berating him in the floor.
This is Northeast Iowa. This is not, South Carolina or something.
Do you know, Murph, are they, and I shouldn't ask the question I don't know the answer to.
Well, you're not an attorney. It's fine.
That's true. I saw the Iowa High School Athletic Association put out a tweet today, thanking Principal Park, celebrating 16 glorious years of having the state tournament there. I guess I was under the impression that this was a one-year thing because of this schedule conflict. But then I see that tweet, and that kind of seems like they're celebrating the end of an era. Is the plan to go back to Principal Park next summer?
There is not a plan at this time because the contract is up. I think
we all can read between some lines here.
There are people with the Iowa Cubs who see this as a major inconvenience and something that that they're proud to host, but that maybe the Chicago Cubs aren't the biggest fans of potentially sending major leaguers down here to a field, although they do an amazing job keeping that field. That's still a lot of baseball in 10 days played on a field where you could have major leaguers down right before the playoffs begin. And I think there's probably people with the Iowa High School Athletic Association that feel like some of these communities might appreciate having the tournament more than the Cubs do. For reasons we all understand, I don't think there's anybody in a acting in bad faith here, but the challenge is the kids want to play at Principal Park. If you're trying to do what the kids want, that's where they want to be.
This is a major lesson in just civic duty here by the iCubs. They are going above and beyond to host this event because they know that so many kids want it and the high schools like it. And it does make them look good and puts their stage in the spotlight. But, I mean, imagine being the grounds crew over at Principal Park. And they're not just playing on it at a busy time of the year. They're playing on it at a hot time of the year where it's hard to keep grass in great shape. And Chris Schlosser over there has been one of the top groundskeepers in the business. Really, really, really takes that job seriously, and it's so much harder when you have that many extra pairs of cleats out there trampling all over your pride and joy in the heat of the summer.
Right.
I'm sure there's so much else that goes with it. It's one of those things that they've just sort of had to kind of force a smile and keep on doing it. So if it, for some reason, started to slip away, I don't know that they'd try to real hard to stop it.
Tim has a thought on state baseball. Tim, welcome.
Yeah.
We're struggling with your reception. Start again, Tim. We had a bad connection for a moment.
Hold on.
That moment continued.
Yeah, we're still having that bad moment. I'm sorry about that, Tim.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
Oh, hey, now we got him. Hi, Tim.
Everything, but I think it changed the game in the fact that the fences are a lot bigger and took away the home run ball for a lot of those teams. So I'm a proponent for having it at a smaller field if possible.
Okay, thank you, Tim. We did catch an interesting and main point there. He's right. I mean, you do take the home run out, and Man, it's actually become something I'm almost looking forward to, right? At the state tournament.
Seems like baseball.
Yeah, they might actually hit some balls in the – they do hit balls in the gap when they play at Principal Park, and there's doubles and triples and bases stolen and some bunting, and it's rare to have a home run there. But he's right. It's not the game they've been playing all season where, you know, we were talking about the James Peterson and Jeff Clement
yeah.
That year – that they were pursuing
19 years ago.
Home run's such a big part of high school baseball here in Iowa, but it's really not at the state tournament.
Yeah, and you know, this was one of those things that you know, the steal the Jurassic Park line, where they, you know, you kind of wanted to know if they could, but maybe we overlooked whether or not they actually should.
Right.
I mean, it's cool to have it all in Des Moines, and Des Moines is the best city to have these big events. And, you know, this is the best place to have this. It's most convenient. It's centrally located. It has all the amenities all built in. It has, you know, there are people who don't get to come to Des Moines very often, and they get to come to Des Moines for the state tournament. And, yes, it made all the sense in the world, but it also did it kind of bleached it out, didn't it? I mean, all the other state tournaments are here. There isn't really anything special about a trip to Des Moines for the state tournament, because maybe you've already been here with another sport that you play. We've got everything else. What are the other ones? Volleyball and football are the only ones that... Swimming? That it?
Yeah.
Softball.
Softball's in Fort Dodge. Yeah, yeah. But that, yeah. I mean, those could very well move here. Swimming could move here.
Yeah, I think that's about it, though.
Swimming, there's a, God, what great a facility pool. That yeah, is amazing. At the Y downtown. When we come back, a chance to be sent to law.
The Ohio, please drink responsibly.
Back on the Murph and Andy Show here on 1460 KXNO, and joined in studio by Matt Strawn, the Iowa Lottery CEO. And Matt's good to have you in here.
Always great to be here. Great to look at you guys, to see you in person.
We get that a lot. Yeah. It's just feel free to stare as you need. No, Matt, you have something we're glad to be involved in here. It's Fly with Cy and the Iowa Lottery. What's going on?
Yeah, we had a great promotion the entire month of June, especially as folks are kind of getting back to their routines and life again. They're talking about this upcoming Iowa State football team. We thought the perfect promotion would be, let's take people to Las Vegas. Let's take people to Las Vegas. Let's go out there. Let's get a private plane. And let's take a bunch of Iowa Lottery players and winners to Vegas to watch the Clones play in September. So what we're going to do this June, any Iowa Powerball ticket, any Powerball ticket that's bought in the state of Iowa during the month of June is eligible to win one of 50 prize packages.
50.
So every winner gets to take one guest. And here's the rundown. We're going to leave on a Thursday. We've got a private plane, private chartered plane that's going to take off from Des Moines Airport. And this isn't one of those deals where, you know, you're waiting in line between people going 18 different places at the main terminal. I know, Murph, I know you're used to the traveling in such style, but
right.
You know, but we've got the private plane set up. Thursday, that will go out. 3 nights, luxury accommodations at Mandalay Bay on the Strip.
Ooh, that's a nice place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a great place.
It is.
And I don't want to bury the lead, of course, for our friends up in Ames. 2 tickets to the Iowa State UNLV night game at Allegiant Stadium, which, of course, is home of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Have you seen the stadium yet?
I have seen the stadium.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
And Mandalay Bay is kind of right across the freeway.
Yep, yeah. That's exactly right. So it's at
A football stadium could be a nightclub, it would look like an Allegiant Stadium.
It's exactly what you'd expect a stadium in Vegas to look like.
It's incredible.
That has the turf that rolls in and out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. That, it's going to have the strip club in the end zone.
Yes. Yeah, not just this weekend.
I mean the nightclub. There probably is a strip club.
That was an accident.
I didn't really mean to say that.
Yeah. Nightclub.
The nightclub in the end zone. I'm sure there is a couple of poles.
So, yeah. Murph, if I can get us back to the prize package.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah.
Just to be clear, just, no strip club.
That's some added value. Added value to your package there, Matt.
So, yeah. Now, I hesitate to mention the next piece of the prize package is $1,500 in spending cash while you're in Las Vegas. But this, and the other thing, back to the ball game.
Yeah, the champagne room at the Cheetah Club. After all this is over with. No, go ahead.
And some Iowa State swag. So it's a great prize package. And actually, back to, you know, Allegiant Stadium, talking about having seen it, I don't think last year the Raiders actually had any fans at their games.
They did not.
No.
So this will really be one of the first opportunities any football fans have had a chance to be in the stadium.
Yeah.
So we're excited about it. And, you know, for us, when we were talking about putting this together, you know, whether we wanted to align with you know, Iowa State or do something that was broader. We thought this really appeals to everybody, whether you're an Iowa State fan that is just unbelievably excited about this season, whether you're a football fan in general who just loves going out to Vegas during football season, or if you're somebody that's been cooped up on the couch for the last 14, 15 months and is looking for something to do, let us do all the work. Let's make it first class. And really, there's three things your listeners need to keep in mind. One, the Iowa Powerball ticket has to be bought in the state of Iowa during June. It has to be entered through our VIP club, which is free. Just download the Iowa Lottery app. And then once you have the Iowa Lottery app downloaded, you have your Powerball ticket in hand, just pull out your phone and snap a picture and enter it right there into the contest. And, you know, we'll get all these entries in at the end of June. And a couple days after that at lottery headquarters, we've got, you know, we've got the big random number generators, and we'll put all these entries in there. And 50 folks are going to get a phone call that they'll never forget.
This is
a good package.
This is a great prize package. This is awesome. And I understand on this private plane, John Walters, voice of the Cyclones, will be pushing the drink cart up and down the aisle. Is that, can you confirm that?
Well, in fact, I would edit it the John Walters. We want to pay due deference to that. So John, voice of the Cyclones, has graciously agreed to effectively be our ambassador for all these winners.
What a sacrifice, John.
You know, team first guy.
Dedicated.
It just goes to show just what a great partner Iowa State has been on this from Jamie Pollard on down. You look at what they've done with the fan experience up at Trice and at Hilton. And really, we want to extend this to this trip as well. When we say that it's a VIP experience, we really want to make sure it's a VIP experience for every one of those folks that is playing and winning one of these prizes.
It is such a promotable trip for Iowa State, and they're going to promote it, you know, five ways to Sunday. But this is really how to do it.
Oh, this
make
is going
a trip
to, be
to
a
Vegas,
hot ticket.
Complete with some money in there.
Just
you
the
already got the state
plane.
Worked out. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mandalay Bay.
You will.
Allegiant Stadium.
You will feel like you belong in Vegas with this package.
And there will be some people who miss the game because they've just been having such a good time in Vegas. They have to cut their night short.
Yeah. Congratulations, Matt. This is a really cool thing. A lot of people are going to be excited about this.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. IALottery.com for all the details that you need.
IALottery.com. AD will also link it every place that you can find us on all the platforms. And this is the prize you want to win. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
Back with Hour 2, the 2 p.m. trend coming up next.